I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I am joined by the cuter than a bunny in a bow tie, if I'm honest. She's adorable. Jess Plummer. So, Jess, mate, you've had, like, a busy year going from your hugely successful stint in I'm a Celebrity to this massive, massive EastEnders storyline that you've got that is, like, has been rumbling on. You must be, for starters, knackered, right? So, like, what, honestly. But also, you must feel really proud of yourself to a certain extent. Like, I watched the episode when your exit episode, so to speak.
Yeah.
And honestly, mate, that is some pretty harrowing stuff. Like, what fantastic acting from you. But, like, it must have been a difficult situation to put yourself in.
Yeah, I mean, I just count my lucky stars that it's me acting it and not living it. And I feel that is what carried me through the process of leading up to that final scene, wanting to do it justice for the people that are living through it. Like I always said, as much as I was gutted when I found out that I would be leaving the show, if it means that just one woman reaches out for help, or I felt like, do you know what, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it.
So, God, it was so, honestly, mate, like it was so intense, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was really intense. And obviously we filmed all of those final scenes, the last 2 weeks of me being, so when we came back on air, we filmed all of that after the first lockdown. So it was intense for the storyline, but for all sorts of reasons, it was a completely new way of filming. We were now not allowed to be close to each other. And obviously I'm going to be murdered. Like, he's going to push me. So in my head, I read the script and I was like, how is this going to happen? How are we going to do it? But they were so clever. I mean, we used Perspex screens. There was times where Toby would literally be that close to me, but we would have a glass screen between us.
No.
Yeah. We used
mannequins. You can't say that at all. Like, it's so clever.
The director that we had, Toby Froh, absolute genius, and his team, like all the people that kind of figured that out together, genius. There was a mannequin with like a big curly wig on that was used quite a lot. It was weird because a part of me felt like, am I going to be able to give my performance as much as I would be able to? Because there were times where I wasn't talking to him, I'd be breaking down, and a lot of acting is bouncing off of the energy that you receive from the person that you're acting against, and it's like you're doing it against nothing. Or they're standing just there, so you're talking to them, but you have to look that way. It was really strange, but I do think as a team we worked really well together, and it was intense, but I do feel really, really proud to have been a part of it.
Oh, I'm not surprised, and I honestly think you were completely the right actress to do it. Like, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah,
like the entire arc of the storyline. So when you first read that, how did you feel? Did you feel the gravity of taking on such a super poignant, especially in the climate we're in now, such a super poignant storyline?
Yeah. So when I got the role, I knew that it would be a domestic violence storyline, but we didn't play any of it until about 3 months into me joining EastEnders. And just before we started to show that side of things, like I knew it, I did my research, but I don't think it really sunk in until we sat down with Women's Aid charity and had real conversations about like what women have actually like gone through firsthand. And it was then when it was like, okay, like this is like it did that kind of thing. The weight of it all kind of went up quite a few notches. Before we all stopped working, there was I was due to be there for like another 3 more months. So I remember when we all left, there was a part of me that was like, whoa, I'm gonna be there longer. But we had all sorts planned. There was we even filmed a scene where Chantel and Whitney make up. That obviously never went out. I had a wig made for me because he was going to chop all of Chantel's hair off. He was going to there was a scene that I have to like drown myself, but originally he was meant to drown her. He was meant to hold her hair under the water. Oh, all of this stuff was meant to happen, which I still thought could have potentially happened. I didn't know. I was just kind of like waiting to get the script. So we had our meeting. We knew he was coming back to work, blah, blah, blah. Got the scripts, knew I was still, you know, Chantel was still going to be murdered, but didn't really know how it was going to happen. And I was reading it and I read all 8 episodes straight away. And I had no idea. I was like, oh, I'm quite heavy in all of these episodes. What's going on? And I was glued. And I remember when I got to the end and it just said Chantel's eyes closed as she dies. And I was like, I just dropped everything. And I was like, yeah. And I, you know, like I knew it was coming, but because it was in black and white in my face and I knew how it was going to happen and like the last words that she was going to say, I just cried. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried all night.
I'm not surprised. Like you've invested so much in this role and like even though you knew what the outcome was going to be and EastEnders were very transparent with the viewers and stuff as well, which I think is very sensitive and very kind. They didn't want to sensationalize it. This is a real issue that a lot of women are facing. Even though we all knew, I gasped. And a part of me, right, this is so, so sad, right? And I do this, but a part of me still just wanted you to get away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, everybody wanted you to get away.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was really sad saying goodbye to the character?
Hugely. Even when I had my meeting where I was told that Chantel would die, it was like there was this divide. So there was a part of me that was like sad because, you know, little things like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to be in this dressing room again, or I'm never going to take this route to work ever again, or, you know, just like the normal kind of sad things when a job comes to an end. But then it was like, this sounds insane, but I would get dressed up into my character costume. I put on my wedding rings. Chantel would always have like a little middle parting thing and tuck it behind her ears. And I'd look in the mirror and I'd just be like, like, it's insane because it's me. But because I'm dressed as Chantel, like, I'd be like, oh, I started to really feel sorry for my character. And I felt like I was for a good, maybe like 2 weeks after I found out that that was going to happen, I felt like I was mourning her. I remember when I got sent the episode before it went on air, and I watched and I as I've said, I don't like watching myself, but I watched it and I watched it, I think, for the first time in my acting career without critique. I watched it as a viewer. I watched it like I'm watching Chantel and Grey like have this argument and him murdering her. And I just cried every single time. I mean, they did such like everyone did such a brilliant job at making that episode what it was. Social media became a really weird place because people were like, oh, obviously rest in peace. But it just became weird because it was like, who am I? Like, what is this? Like, these feelings are really strange. And I remember when EastEnders, because that was on the Friday episode. I remember I tuned in to watch EastEnders on the Monday. And as soon as I heard the doof doof for the theme tune, I switched it off. I was like, I can't do this. I can't watch it. I can't watch it.
I'm not surprised. It was a huge responsibility to be given that domestic abuse storyline. And quite frankly, like you did it. It was handled really with dignity. So hats off to you, to EastEnders, to the director, everything. Did you feel the responsibility to get that right?
Yeah.
Did you feel it was on your shoulders? Yeah.
Yeah. But like, as I said, more so just like not even just as an actress and like wanting to do a good performance for the show, but just to be able to, because my whole time in EastEnders, women would come up to me and be like, oh, you know, your storyline, like, it really resonates with something I've been through or something that a friend has been through. I just want to say thank you. And it was like, I want to do it for them. Like, I want to do it for every woman or man, every person in that situation, to show them, like, if you don't maybe reach out for help, this is potentially what could happen. I stayed in a like my last week of filming those scenes, because I filmed those scenes because people assume that when you film, your last scene is the last thing that you filmed, but actually
it's sometimes not in chronological order.
No, that last scene, I remember when I got my schedule and I was like, are you kidding me? I've not done acting for 3 months and you want me to come back and do that in my second week? Like, what?
Let us warm up a little bit.
Do you know what? That week, I filmed her death. I filmed her drowning herself in the bath. I feel that week was so intense, and I stayed in a hotel because I was like, I need to just really, really focus. I need to sleep good. I need to put my head down and knuckle down. But then, in a way, as much as it was a bit like, oh my goodness, this is intense, it was nice after that to do the things that were not as heavy, like just before, you know, on my leaving. So that was nice.
I know. I mean, in a way, I completely understand. Like, it always messes with my head. And I think if I was an actress or an actor or something, and I had to do things out of chronological order, I think I'd be so confused. But in this particular circumstance, I'm so pleased you got a slightly happier note to end on, just for yourself, to say goodbye to the EastEnders experience. Because, like, you have loved it, haven't you?
No, but like massively, like again, similarly to Neon Jungle, like probably one of the, and you know what, it's not just about being on the show and acting, because obviously it's a great gig as an actor, but like everyone, like all of the crew, the lighting, the sound department, the camera guys, the cleaners, the people that serve you your coffee, like you they become your family.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? You know what it's like anyway, but yeah, it's definitely going to be something that I'm always going to be super proud of. It's a shame that my character's died and I can't come back. But,
reason. They've done stranger things, Jess.
This is true.
Like, I've seen people come back, so never say never. That's when EastEnders is concerned, girl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, such an amazing, really meaty role. But looking at it, rather than something make believe, rather than a show, a soap, something dramatized, it's a reality for a lot of women at the moment and men. I don't mean to be sexist there at all. You worked really closely with Women's Aid and charities like that to make sure it was authentic and sensitive and stuff like that. And I just want to know, like, did it have a real effect on you? Like, do you feel now like it was exactly the right role for you? Were you pleased you did it?
I feel like, I don't know if it was exactly the right role for me, but I feel like I couldn't have given it more than what I did. Like, I felt like, I remember when I sat down, we met with the charities, and I just remember, like, even after talking to Toby about it, it was like, not only is it like, okay, this is like heavy and we've got to do it right, this is a privilege. Like, we have been chosen to carry the storyline that's going to, like, hopefully be able to help save lives. And as I said, when women specifically, not, I've never been approached by a guy, but when they say like, oh, I watched your storyline, and because of Chantel and Gray, like it made me reach out, like it made me call the number at the end, and like that makes it so worth it. And to be a part of that is such an honor. To be a part of like something so much bigger than just, you know, acting a character is incredible. And I really enjoyed it. It was tricky. There were times where I would drive home from work, and like I would just drive in silence. Like, and I'd get home and I'd be like, oh my God, like slap yourself, like get in the shower, like pick yourself up a bit. Because you're there. I mean, you're there sometimes 6 days a week for 12 hours every day. So it is a lot, but absolutely incredible. I mean, if I could do it all again, I would.
Yeah. You were like, were you always a big fan of EastEnders? Like, was it just a dream come true for you?
Like, it was insane. I grew up, that was like what we did every evening. Like, I'd come home from school, I'd do my homework, have a bath, and then we'd sit down and watch EastEnders. And I always knew as soon as that doof doof came, it meant it was bedtime. So I would always want it to drag out. And then, even though I would watch it every single day in the week, Sunday, omnibus, I'm watching it all again. I used to love it. I was completely obsessed. Being there, I remember my first day. Do you know what? I remember when I got the role, I got it just before Christmas. They sent me all the scripts and everything, and I read over it and blah, 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 blah. And then obviously over Christmas, you know what? It's like everything shuts down. Like, you don't hear from anyone. And I remember like going through my emails and just checking that I definitely did get the role, because it didn't feel real. And then on my first day, I remember, because I had to go and get like a makeup camera test and everything. And I was lost in the car park, and I just saw someone in the distance, and I was like, it's like, excuse me, how'd you get out? And I got, as they were walking closer, I realized it was Mo. And I was like, she was like, what are you doing, love? Did you turn left? And then when you see the big door, you turn right. And I was walking around, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. Even, do you know what? It took me a long time to wrap my head around it. Even in like on my last day when I would see Steve, I would like go to call him Phil. And then when I'm nervous, I do this, I just talk. I remember one day he was sat down, and I think, I can't remember what it was, but for some reason I started telling him about the fact that I had served him when I used to work in, Karen Millen in Selfridges when I was like 17. Anyway, I started telling him this story, and you know when you're telling a story and halfway through you realise...
You just regret it.
Yeah,
you
like you're rambling and there's not an ending point, and they're not giving you anything back. So I was just And then you said, I literally just went... okay, bye. And just walked away at the end, because I was like, I don't know how to wrap this up. You're not giving me anything. I was just so nervous.
That's not your fault. That is on Steve. Like, Phil Mitchell, you have been in this industry so long. Consider this Vicky Patterson reprimanding you. You should be used to this by now. You should have given her a fucking hand there. Bless you, mate.
Joey, oh, do you know,
I've been there.
I remember when I did walk away, because who was he sat next to? He was sat next to... Jamie and Max, because they're quite close, because they work together for a lot. I remember I just started giggling as I walked away, and I think the next day Max was like, Jess, you cracked me up.
I want to say, like, you've been part of such huge British institutions of TV, of reality TV, like in terms of music and everything, but it's just interesting for me to know what you think is next. Like, have you got something you're burning to achieve? Is there anything like I can expect to see you on soon? Like, I just want to fangirl you. I want to set me plan up for something.
Do you know what it is? I feel like in life, and like not even in a big-headed way, just in a way where I think everyone should have this mentality. Like, whatever it is you want to do, go for it. Like, like, it doesn't have to be a musician, an artist, even if it's, I really want to be a bus driver, like, whatever it is you want to do in life, go for it. Like, right now, I'm in a place where I feel really comfortable, and I feel really happy, and I feel like I know this works. I know if I put my mind to something and I want to make it happen, it will happen. So I'm really excited for the future. I feel like off the back of
being
in the castle, it kind of taught me to say yes to things that are outside of my comfort zone. Obviously right now we're in weird times where we're not sure what is around the corner tomorrow, but I'm excited for the potential of anything. I don't know. Like, what?
So you should be, babe. Like, look at you. You're a triple threat right here. Like, we've got singing, you've got reality, you've got acting. You are. The world's your oyster, Jess. And I, for one, am so excited to see what we get next from you.
Thank you, Vicky. Yeah, I'm excited too, because I don't even know what's around the corner. But I am
going to be a surprise for Jess.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I just feel like, no, like, I'm in a good place, like, I mean, yeah, obviously concentrating on my career and being little Missy's mummy. But yeah, like, I just feel like the world is my oyster, as you said.
Good for you, mate. Right. Here at Vicky Patterson The Secret too, yeah. We always ask our lovely guests to impart a couple pearls of wisdom before we let you leave.
Okay.
Just so our wonderful listeners can have a takeaway from the ep. And listening to you talk about manifesting, about completely being the master of your own destiny and achieving so much stuff in a short space of time, it's obvious to me that you're an incredibly inspirational and strong woman, but you're just in control of your life, which I love. I want to know what your secret to being your own leading lady is.
Oh, okay. I just think, do you know what? And disclaimer, I don't wake up this ray of sunshine every day. Like, I have
who
my
does,
days.
Mate?
Jessa, who everyone. Does? I feel like we are a little bit living in a society that, I don't know if it's social media or what, where I think people do have this impression that if you're on X, Y, Z show, or you live, or you drive blah, blah, blah car, then you've really got all of your shit together. I feel like, like, not necessarily, but I do think at the same time, like, I need to, it's my life. I'm the only person that's living it. I'm in control of how I spend my time, who I spend my time with. And I just think mentally, as long as I'm like aligned with the things that what I want to achieve, and I'm in a positive place and just grateful, like, gratitude is something that is so important, because otherwise, no matter what heights you reach in life, you're never going to appreciate it, are you? You know, it's not going to feel like you've done much. I feel like, You've just got to know your worth. Like, how can I say this in a way that isn't cheesy? I love a cheesy cliche.
No, we love cheese, mate. Honestly.
Do you? So do I.
I am like, I'm literally like walking Edam right now. Like, I am such a cheesy person. Never apologize for that here. You're in a safe cheesy space. So first thing, honestly, ejaculate cheese on me right now. Just go over it, girl.
You just got to own your source. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to also not be so hard on yourself. You're human. Like, you're going to have days that you feel like not even getting out of bed sometimes. I do, but it's all part of the journey, isn't it? I think. All part of the journey.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
Jess.
Cheesy.
No, so yeah, cheesy. But this is the perfect place for it. We love a bit of cheese at Vicky Patterson The Secret too. You are, you're like everything I want to be when I grow up, Jess, which is ridiculous to say
up.
Because I'm so enjoying you, but you really are a very inspirational and powerful woman, and I'm so pleased you agreed to take this time today to talk to us. Like, well done for well done for everything you're doing, and just good luck with the future, because you deserve every success.
You're so lovely. Thank you for having me.
Don't be daft, man. Now go and get Nora a snack before she fucking kicks that door down.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, gorgeous. Guys, that was Jess Plummer. I'm actually blown away. Like, it's not very often I'm left super speechless, but me and Jess didn't have much of a relationship before this podcast, and I learned a lot about that by doing this, and I'm just super impressed with that as a person. From whether it's being like plucked from obscurity to sensitive storylines to smashing it on the castle, she is a perfect example of how you can be the leading lady of your own life, and I hope you've all learned something from listening to that today. I know I have. Go on. I also just want to be her best friend. Oh, I'm loving making this series, and I hope you guys are too. I hope it's helping you through what is quite a difficult year. because it's making my year go a lot faster and a lot easier. God, I'm so selfish, aren't I? I'm doing this podcast because I like doing it. So please let me continue. Leave reviews, tell your friends how good it is. Make sure everybody knows about Vicky Patterson The Secret too. And if you have anything you'd like to add, please don't be a stranger. Send it to vickypattersonpodcast@gmail.com. We'll do our best to take all of your notes on board. Thank you so much. I hope you have a lovely week, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.